It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the latest episode of River City 93. You wouldn't know this is the second time I'm doing this intro because I didn't mess up the intro the first time. Played the wrong music, had to restart it. But that's besides the point. Just like the Kickers, we're starting off rocky, but we're going to have a better patch of form going through. Joining me on tonight's show is Mr. Matt Myers. How are you doing, sir?
Doing okay, getting ready for big week. Everybody's grand return to City Stadium. What better place to be?
I can't wait. I miss being in the Grand Ole. Next up is Mr. Gabe. How are you, sir?
I'm pumped. I'm super pumped for two home openers this week. Just like a double home opener thing going on.
Gabe, I got a question for you. Are you going to be double fisting Falcon Smash?
I'll probably be pretty light on the Falcon Smash this weekend. Yeah, we'll see.
I know that's the thing. Like, everyone's that excited about, but everyone that's talked about it has been like, yo, like, two going to make you, like, go to sleep.
Yeah, you really can't do more than one. And I mean, I'm not going to speak to that. No more comments.
John Moss heard that. He was like,
I was going to say, we have some professional drinkers at that stadium.
There's going to be at least one game where John Barnes is double fisting in the first half and in the second half. It still be functional by the end of the game. What a surprise. And last but not least is Mr. Shanier Duran II. How are you, my good man?
Doing all right. Looking like Gabe said, looking forward to like this kind of weird two cracks at a home opener situation. There's two different competitions, so.
Yeah, no, it is going to be interesting because, like, we all know midweek games are kind of, depending on who the opponent is, like, fluctuating with attendance. And then you got the real home opener on Saturday. So if you don't get it right Wednesday with the attendance, you can get it definitely right Saturday with the attendance. But before all of that, before we dive more into the men's team and all that stuff, let's take a second. Let's talk about the women's team, which we now know the name for, Richmond Ivy Soccer Club. If you haven't seen it, check it out on the socials on River City 93. I was there covering an event. We were doing interviews. We were supposed to drop like little mini interviews out, but technology decided not to work with me at that time period, so I'm sorry for that. But, guys, it was a great event. From y'all, I want to hear. How excited are y'all for the branding? And what do you guys think about the logo, the jerseys, et cetera?
I love both logo and kit. Looks fresh. I like it. And just the idea for the name, Richmond Ivy, and the meaning behind it is really cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing them play.
Yeah, what it represents is cool. I like that a lot. I didn't think about it until they mentioned it in the video that was like kind of releasing the brand about Ivy being all over our city. And then, like, I was walking around VCU today for work stuff, and like, oh, there really is, like, ivy everywhere in Richmond. And so, like, I just thought that was, like, a cool, like, homage to, you know, it's like, you really do see it all over the place. And so I think it's cool. And then just the deeper meaning going on behind the crest was really sweet. So I'm pretty pumped for, you know, for that brand and what that's going to look like.
Yeah. Matt?
Yeah, I think the actual design of the logo and all that looks good, like the colors in and of themselves. Yeah, I think work, I still think it's a mistake to completely separate, you know, the branding from the Kickers brand, you know, altogether, because I think that all that's going to do is create divides in the soccer, you know, communities. Like, you know, oh, no, I'm you know, Ivy, I'm, you know, they're Kickers. And, well, I've seen too much, you know, nonsense on the youth league side of things with that sort of thing to think that, you know, it's not going to permeate, you know, up into the, you know, I guess not fully professional. What is the brain there? Each pre-professional,
yeah,
you know, ranks, and just get into petty fights and like that among, you know, fan bases. But for what they did roll out, yeah, I think it's fine. I mean, I don't know. I hear Richmond Ivy, and I just, you know, keep, you know, thinking like WNBA team name, or, you know, or something like that. It just sounds like one of those classic, like, you know, late 90s, early 2000s concept names to me. So far better than if they were just like Richmond City, or, you know, just, you know, Richmond SC, or, you know, something like that. So not going to be mad at them taking a swing. You know, it's not my favorite, but, you know, the look looks good.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. I really enjoy the logo. Doug on Twitter, got a point, he kind of made a connection about how Richmond's kind of going back to the green. So at least we have one team in City Stadium that's going to be playing in green consistently, pretty much like how the men's team was when they first started. I'm not, the logo is great itself. The secondary logos I really enjoy. There's one that's, that says IBSC that looks really dope. The jerseys are nice and dope. You got to see those up close in person. And got to miss some of the players. They seem really excited. And I don't know if that's just like the collegeness in them, like the youthfulness. But outside of that, no, they seem like a real cool squad. And getting ready to see them play. We want to see them in Richmond. On that aspect. But if you want more of that, Kate's not here tonight because she is with a friend. I think on a date? I don't know. I don't know how these things work anymore. But yeah, we'll take care of more of the women's team thing.
You're a married man, so the dating world doesn't exist to you anymore.
3 out of 4 in this podcast that doesn't exist. Matt, you want to talk to us about the dating
world? Well, successful once, divorced now, so yeah.
Yeah, well, good morning. And we made that transition into the Kickers game. Kickers had their first game of the season against Spokane Velocity. Spokane already played a game previously. They were coming off a loss to Greenville, 3-1. Richmond was going up to Spokane. Spokane was over their new stadium, had 5,000 in attendance. And that, if you was watching the broadcast, you probably had the same question as me. It's like, where is this other 5,000? And then you realize the camera was pointed the other way. So before we dive into that game particularly, thoughts on Spokane Stadium? I thought it looked really nice. Like, for it to be a soccer-specific stadium for a lower division team, real nice, nice sight lines. I did hear in a broadcast that they can use it for city football, but they can scrub the lines and whatnot. So it looks fresh and everything.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, the stadium looks pretty good. I was actually pretty impressed by the look of the stadium. When you're watching it, the goal on the left side, being right in front of that walkway, that actually was pretty cool. Kind of gave it a unique feel and unique look. Kudos to them. You know, starting off the season pretty strong in terms of attendance and, you know, the look of the stadium and the, how the atmosphere was.
Yeah. Kudos to Spokane. You know, I think that like more stadiums being full and selling out and having 4,000 to 6,000 fans on any given Saturday is a great thing for our league. And it's a great thing for soccer in America in general. So when I saw 5,000, I saw that it was sold out and it looked like a good atmosphere from what you could see. I'm excited for them. And it's good for us to be challenged, right? Like, I think there's just a degree of like higher waters is better for all the ships, right? Like, you want competition, you want that to go well. And so happy for them being a new team. It's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't an eyesore. That's really what do I, that's all I care about. Cause how do I care? Why do I care about Spokane otherwise? Yeah. It's kind of, I think it was them. I might be conflating with some other game, you know, where it's like clearly right in the community because you saw some kind of decent sized road or highway right behind the one goal, so you could see cars like with their brake lights on and everything, kind of neat. But hopefully come football season they'll actually take the football lines off. Otherwise, when we get to August, that place is going to suck to watch games, just like it sucks to watch games in Greenville and Lexington and Omaha with their baseball nonsense. And so
well, hey, luckily enough, we don't have to watch games there anymore because we'll be almost done with our home and away season because of a balanced schedule. Yay. So let's dive into the game real quick. So yeah, the game ended 2-1. The first 15 minutes or so really give you old Richmond Kickers. Before even we get into that, find out some news. The Richmond Kickers have been hit with the injury bug. So, guys, help me along with this. I want to make sure I get this list right. Who was injured, who was missing from this game? Emiliano Terzaghi, Jao Gomero,
Ani,
Jao, the new center back, Gao. Who else were we missing? Am I forgetting anyone else? I feel like I am.
Yeah, maybe, but
yeah.
Well, if you are, it kind of tells a story of meh.
Yeah. So those are the guys that were missing. And I put out a tweet thinking that I know Darren. I know Darren, you're listening. We're buddies. Predicting what I thought would be the starting lineup. Thought that I knew that. When I saw the starting lineup, I immediately went into the chat with y'all and was like, am I seeing this right?
Well, in your defense, if the league actually required them to put out an injury report, you would have at least been closer. You still wouldn't have guessed the right lineup.
Yeah.
But we would have known before that dropped. That Joao and Franca and we knew Emmy also. It's a finger injury. Just take that up and play through it. Come on.
You can cast that up, Emmy.
Yeah, come on, man.
I think it's an excuse for the actual knee injury still, but
well, hope not. It'd be good to go because my goal is
definitely. Because otherwise, look, you see guys wearing like full on clubs on their hands and everything, going out there and playing. Like, how's he need his finger for?
The sight of Emmy wearing a club makes me laugh because I guarantee you he'll try to score a goal with it.
Yeah, go for it. We don't have VAR. Yep.
Look.
Definitely not this game. You would have had a penalty call. We'll talk about that.
Hey, it's another Argentina, the club of God, rather than the hand of God.
We'll talk about that later. But I want to ask you guys this question, and Matt, I'll start over with you. Get your thoughts on this. How much of this lineup dictated things for Darren having those four injuries to key spots? Bringing in Griffin at center back, James Vaughn at center mid, starting Nick Simmons at striker. How much did that hamper or kind of tie Darren's hand to start off with?
Two of the injuries are on top of each other. So Ani and Franca could have just been replacement, right? Because I don't care what the announcer says, like until proven otherwise, Dak is one of the starting center backs. You're right. So I'm saying, missing both center back. Yeah. Maybe we'll be proven wrong on that, but I'm not buying yet. yeah, you know, quite there. So one of those spots, but still had his, you know, share of choices there. Like we've seen him play Cole, we've seen him play O'Dwyer, we've seen him play Suko, and he chose to go with, you know, the 17-year-old, you know, Griffin Garnett, you know, there, which if anybody said they thought that was happening, you know, you're the worst liar ever, because you did not think that was happening. I don't think his mom probably even thought that was happening.
He probably didn't think it was happening until Darren told him.
Yeah. So
most likely.
So I mean, we'll talk about that later on, but he showed out quite well, I thought.
He did.
Are we convinced that, you know, Giles is actually the starter? I mean,
based on preseason, him and Nell playing together, I would say so. But given that Suko was coming off the bench and he started James Vaughn there, maybe so.
Yes, hard to say there. Like, I think, yeah, that's one where if both have been available, would you have been absolutely stunned if it was Vaughn over, you know, Joel? Like, maybe surprised, but not stunned.
Yeah.
Up front, very surprised even with Simmons over Bashua.
Yeah.
That stood out to me for multiple reasons. And, you know, we can get into performance for that later on. So he saw quite a bit of agency in what he chose, you know, to be able to do. And, you know, so yeah, maybe it hurt a little bit, but I don't think it dictated.
Yeah, fair enough. Gabe, Chenier, any thoughts on that real quick before we move on to talking about these first 20 minutes?
I think. It was interesting with the new lineup in terms of the formation. Even though, as we know, with the way the game has progressed and the way the game has evolved, formation isn't really that important. But the idea to go with basically, in terms of defensively, a low block with Moran in the middle of it, was a very interesting take. I think with a little bit of work, with a little bit of, you know, repetition, it can work. Which I think, especially when you look at the back line, you look at Dak and Garnett, working with Moran defensively was working pretty well. And I guess I will have a more cemented judgment when we have Darren's preferred lineup, barring injuries. But it basically kind of was like a 4-1-4-1, and you're looking at a situation here where we haven't seen that formation for a while. I think it works pretty well with the way the game went, with the way the game flowed. It was very interesting to see how important Neil was and how much went through him, which we started to see a little bit towards the end of last season, but now we're seeing like the completed project of that with this game.
Gabe, anything from you, my man?
I wouldn't add anything like particularly new to what these guys said. I would just emphasize like the, I don't know if excitement is the word, but like just the, I'll say excitement about like two 17-year-olds getting the start, Nick and Griffin. You know, I think Elliot, you tweeted this, but like, you know, it's the reality of if you're old enough or if you're good enough, you're old enough, you know? And so it was cool to see those guys get a shot and get a chance. And, you know, particularly Griffin played quite well, you know, so it was awesome. I think Nick held his own, you know, for the most part, it was fine, but like he's hopefully going to get other opportunities as Emmy's going to be out for a few more weeks. You know, we could see Nick in there a couple more times. You know, he could get a decent shot here on Wednesday or on Saturday, you know. So there's going to have to be some kind of rotation.
Yeah, for certainly. Matter of fact, Gabe, you were at the watch party. Tell us about that. How was it? I'm pretty sure the crowd's reaction when he saw the lineup was audible gasp by, and also like, oh, who is this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was standing at a table with like several people that we all know well. And like, it was a question of like, who is like when, I think I didn't put it together when I saw the lineup versus when they panned to the kickoff, and me, Richard, and like three other people were all like, is that Nick Simmons? You know, like we didn't realize like that it was Nick Simmons taking off there to start the game. And so like, that was kind of a funny moment, but yeah, I mean, the watch party at Triple Crossing was awesome. It was packed in there. They had, Triple had like three people behind the bar getting the job done. So like you would stand in line for a drink or some food, and it'd go super fast. They handled it really, really well. I did make an appeal to camp to make Triple Crossing the exclusive watch party location. And he, you know, he shut that one down. And right, I mean, I understand, it's okay. But like, I just, it was such a great atmosphere, you know, and it was packed.
It was sponsors of dollars got to come in. It was like, oh,
right, no, I get it. There's sponsorship, you know, I understand. But there's like, but it was packed in there. The atmosphere was great. It was only Kickers fans inside, you know. It was probably like 70 people in there. It was a fun time.
All right, good. Triple Crossing is a real cool place to go watch a game. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about these goals. Obviously, this game didn't get off to the best starts. We did have a dangerous chance to start off with Neil kind of creating a little turnover there, having a shot on goal. But I will say this, the start of it kind of gave me deja vu of Kickers of last year. Make one good play, and they kind of get sandstormed of they'll give up one goal that leads to two goals, and we saw that in this game, even though the first goal was very, very fluky. I open this one up so we can talk about it a little bit. Anything the Kickers could have done different on the first goal? Me personally, I don't think there's anyone you can really blame on that. It just seemed like a fluky goal that just, I think if he tried that 9 times out of 10, like he got his 1 out of 10 of that one.
I think the actual shot, yeah, was that he was probably trying to cross the ball. However, the space that he had in order to cause that, I think 2-3 games in, that doesn't happen. What was his name? The player. Romain. Romain Metania? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Madagascar. So Metania. He was in acres of space. And even though, yes, you had that situation where my man who was playing right wing, Smith, was kind of tucked in a little more and drops back. Moran follows him, which it wasn't Smith, sorry. Gill drops back. Moran follows him, which kind of leads to Garnett being completely free to Mark Smith. And I think Maxi was caught ball watching in that situation. He was caught ball watching. You saw Garnett actually point out wide, and Maxi was slow to get out there because he did not need to be marking Smith anymore because Garnett had him. Because Moran followed Gill inside, Dak was marking Dalling. So with Metania coming on the outside, that should have been Schenfeld's man. That should have been Maxi's man. So Maxi should have, at that moment of Moran, his man in, and Garnett being free to Mark Smith, he needed to get out wide immediately. But caught ball watching, the ball being all the way on the other side of the field, you can find a fault in that. But caught ball watching, he left him wide open, which gave him time to bring the ball down, look up, and go for the cross, which ended up being a shot. So, like I said, 2-3 games down the line where they're really starting to get that defensive line really tight-knit and working well, I don't think that happens. I think Netanyahu does not have that much time on the ball. Maxi is there a lot earlier to close him down and make him really have to work for getting that cross in.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey, Matt, anything from y'all?
I mean, I'm just watching it back. I'm watching it back right now, and it felt like it's even simpler than Shaneer was describing it. You know, long switch ball, you know, missing air, all alone on the wing, you know, all the space in the world. Nobody ever really makes it over to him.
I mean, yeah. I can understand because he's a fullback, so he's coming in late, but still.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, you probably simplify it down even further. I don't think you're wrong with anything you were saying. I was just saying, you know, quick blind eye. Oh, there's nobody there. Let me, you know, bring it in. All right, I'll swing across, maybe shank the cross a little bit. I know it's probably technically not Hara's fault, but it's not a good look, you know, for the guy. Very first, you know, time he's putting any kind of, you know, pressure with a new team, and you basically get chipped.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, right there. And especially because, you know, he's had a history of soft goals, you know, in the past. It did not, you know, make me feel super confident. You know, first time, maybe not first time he touches the ball, he might have had a goal kick or something, but one of his first actions is watch the ball fly over him and then pick the ball out of the back of his own net.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way how Pablo wanted to start his kicker's career. I will say this, though. Pablo's overall performance, I didn't feel bad about it. You know, granted, he didn't get tested a whole lot from shots from Spokane. My bad. He didn't get tested a whole lot from shots from Spokane, but his distribution got better over the course of the game. Started off a little shaky. Got better over the course of the game. And he does – I don't know. Is it fair to say that he's like a sweeper keeper almost? Like, he's very comfortable playing the ball with his feet.
Yeah, from what I saw, he did, you know, have a few touches on the ball. He looked very comfortable. There are sometimes you get this – and you can't really put a finger on what it is, but there are sometimes you see a goalie the ball with their feet, and you're like, I don't feel comfortable with this. Please get rid of it quickly. Like your typical Joe Hart. Like, yeah, please get rid of it. Just hit it long and don't try and do anything fancy. But Hara just looked very comfortable on the ball, which was a relief because we are used to that with Akira. Akira always looked very comfortable on the ball when he received it at his feet and was always able to ping some of those nice, perfect balls out wide to our wide players. And it's good that we have that continuation with Hara.
Yeah. All right. So a couple of minutes later, you know, the kickers gave up goal number two. Now this one we can just dissect this one because first of all, the lead up to it, Dak and Simon, I don't know, there was miscommunication. I would think for two guys that played 30-plus games together last year, this wouldn't be a thing. But it seemed like Simon was going for the ball, Dak was going for it. Neither one of them backed out from it. It leads to a corner. We get the corner kick. We'll go put it to the back post. Brian gets caught up the spin cycle. Guy gets a free open header. We're down 2-0. My frustration is really just with the way how it led him to the corner. And with Ryan just getting lost on that, Gabe, what did you see in the corner? Like, am I wrong with being mad at Ryan for this?
I mean, yeah, when they showed the replay of the corner, it just looked like nobody was marking the man that headed the ball, that, like, scored the goal. So, we were talking about it a little bit before the show. It looks like Spokane relatively successfully set up some kind of like pick play to get Ryan.
Yeah.
It slowed down Ryan quite a bit to get there. And so it was a frustrating, rewatching it was pretty frustrating because literally Ryan did like spin around in his effort to get there. He really didn't have a shot. Like it was Spokane really executed that quite well, I think. So it was pretty frustrating, particularly because the first goal appeared to be pretty fluky.
Yeah, I'm watching this one back too. Yeah. And I think calling it a pick play is being very friendly to Ryan right now, because it looks like a play like my very, very mediocre average, like U14, playing day corner, kick system, ran where the guy just kind of, hooks around the penalty spot and runs to the back post, and it's all alone, and Ryan just gets dusted. Like, there's nobody even giving him a rub or a screen.
I don't know. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I think this is a very kind of, it highlights the difference in mentality between defensive players and attacking players, because it was hard for me to see exactly the beginning of Longmire's run, because it looks like he came from near post and literally like kind of looped around the scrum to go to the outside. And in that situation, your average defensive player, even going all the way up to your center mid, would be able to follow that run and track that and stay on him and at least make Longmire work for it. But attacking players, wingers, it's like, the scrum in the middle just made him lose his bearing, and he just lost his man. Like, literally no contact needed. It wasn't necessarily a pick, more of a visual confusion pick of sorts. Like, with that scrum in the middle, is like, oh wait, hold on, there's a whole bunch of bodies, where's my man? Too late, he's already gone. So I don't know if putting a winger on a center back for a corner is a very good idea. That might have been just been a mismatch in that situation, even if he had been there. But yeah, that's kind of really a big telltale sign. It's like, this guy is an outside attacking player. He's not defensive, doesn't have that mindset to stay with his man even through.
Yeah, it does seem like that. I'm pretty sure that's something Darren was definitely working with them on in the training ground. Probably today and also probably tomorrow. I know that also probably frustrated a little bit more. But I will give the kickers this. They had a good response. 20th minute mark, our signature play. If nothing else, these kickers are going to do a long throw in very well. Question, can you guys tell who threw the ball in? I couldn't tell for the longest.
That's what I'm trying to do right now.
I can't tell who that is. I don't know who that is. Who?
Is Maxi?
Is Maxi?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, look at that. All right. But no, I mean, the long throw-in, I'm pretty sure, is designed to cause confusion in the box. Like, if you can't get the first header to it, like, just create some confusion. And that's what happened. Bill Hart finds himself open up literally in the middle near the penalty spot. A little bit to the left of it, I think. It just fires it low and hard to the bottom of the net. 2-1 at that point. I want to talk about Bill Hart's performance in his game. Out for one, and presently surprised, we have a functional right winger, something we haven't had in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, that has been kind of our
the black hole, exactly.
That has definitely been a spot that we have been rotating players in and out, just trial and error all last season. It seems like we finally found one. I want to see more games to be 100% sure, but it looks like Bill Hart seems comfortable there, And I'm really hoping that he can do well there, because that position, we've been starving for a right winger for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seemed like after the first, what was it, 11 or 12 minutes when Neil had those first two chances, which maybe you should have passed the second one. It seemed like anything good that happened, came through Adrian, after that, going, one-on-one, looking, for, distribution, definitely seemed to be the big focal point and, big producer, of excitement after that point. So, yeah, again, one game in, probably don't want to go back and look at some of our other after one game proclamations of, previous years, but this time will be different. This time it's gonna, gonna work out for us.
Yay! Work out for us. another trend I was kind of picking up in the first half was Spokane was really settled in on like crosses, and it seemed like, I don't know if it was the newness of the center back pairing or just having a 17-year-old there, but it seemed like Spokane was like, look, they got a young person there, center back, let's pump in crosses, try to give them some things to think about. How do you think Richmond dealt with it? Because at first, I felt like it was kind of shaky. Like, Richmond was dealing with it, but I wasn't sure if they were able to clear them out and deal with the necessary problems. How do you guys think Richmond dealt with Spokane's crosses as a whole throughout this game?
I think in terms of the center back pairing, I think they handled it pretty well. A lot of some of those crosses, either Barnathan or Garnett were getting to those balls pretty consistently. It was the second ball. In my opinion, especially with things like corners and situations where the ball is out on the wing for a long period of time, allowing for more players to get back, it was the situation of either James or Moran or Fitch or Maxi who were taking too long to get that ball clear. And so I think Garnett, being 17 as a center back, did a pretty good job considering. I was actually pretty impressed with his performance. He did pretty well. He held his own. He didn't look out of place. And I think he matched up pretty well with Dak. Again, I think it's just as a unit, the team defensively, things were a little chaotic after the first ball on those crosses.
Gabe, Matt, anything from y'all?
I don't think I would add anything. I think that it did seem like Spokane was trying to throw a lot of crosses into the box. Probably because there was a 17-year-old back there and they're trying to test him, but we're going to get there. But in the second half, that settled down quite a bit.
I thought they were fine. I'm trying to think other than the goal we already talked about, any crosses that actually were dangerous in any way. And I can't think of anything. Maybe I repressed, some memories, but I can't think of any.
I would say there was a few where we got there right there in the nick of time, cleared it out.
So they got there in time.
Yeah, they got there in time. But it was like, gotta get there.
Yeah, like I was saying, it was some of those where either Dak or Garnett would get that first header, and it would, to make sure a striker can't get to the header, and it would drop like around the penalty spot, and either Moran or James or Fitch or whoever would take too long. Like it was kind of nervy, like hurry up and get it out, and they would get it out, but it would look a little like if Spokane were a little more clinical on closing down the second ball, it could have been more dangerous. But I think with this being early in the season, you're looking at a Spokane that's still getting used to each other, still trying to figure things out. So those, it's only after a while you get that development of a team that you can start working on, okay, getting to that second ball off of crosses, off of goal kicks and all of that. So we were able to kind of learn ourselves on the go because they were learning on the attack. So it didn't look as dangerous as it needed to, as it could have been.
Yeah. I would say even more so, like, the number of shots on goal that Spokane had was very small and limited, like I said earlier. Pablo didn't really get tested. I don't think Spokane really had any clear-cut quality chances.
To me, the defense looked a lot more like old-school, you know, daring kind of defense. Let them take low-quality shots and, you know, cool. But they got one other shot on target throughout the game. That was, you know, a little roar that, you know, Pablo didn't have any, trouble. If he had problems with that one, then, burn it down.
Yeah.
That was catching practice for him.
I think the last, I want to say negative one, but the last thing that I was kind of picking up on is a lot of the times the kickers would have the ball in the back. They were having problems getting forward. They were fine, I'm going to try to describe this. They were fine going east to west and building that way and working the ball up the field. Like, they would go east, west, switch, and build up that way. But if they tried to just go direct and go, like, just straight, like, if the ball went from Dak to then Zaka or Vaughn, and then Vaughn would try to play it wide, they would have problems building that way. Because I felt like some of the chances that we were trying to have, like, just got cut out, and we kind of just got stuck in the midfield a little bit. Did you guys see anything like that?
I mean, I think part of that is, a function of, the front six. Okay. All right, Neil, dribble a little bit sometimes. But other than that, who's really, like your ball advancer out of that group? I think Adrian could be, but he was kind of out on the wing, and I think most good things, came when they went out there. Like, Ryan struggled, across the board. In the first half, I didn't think Simmons was any good either. Like, he was a body on the field for the most part. Like, yeah, he'll get better, but he wasn't there yet. I'd say it's the young guy thing, but saw a guy the same age, balling out in the back and at a position that's usually tougher for young, players, to come in at. So I don't think, Emmy's got anything to worry about on that level once he, gets back from his 18 injuries. When two out of the three spots up there are not much happening, it's going to be hard to advance the ball. And we also know that, the coaching staff really big on the possession stat right now. So I think they're comfortable with just recycling if they don't see the exact right pass and cycle it back again. Look to see if you can find it in the next cycle.
Yeah, there was a few times recyclable, but it wasn't. I would say it had a purpose to it, which I minded a lot more than what last year seemed like. Like, it seemed like last year just got stuck in a cycle of just passing for passing sake, but this year it seemed a little bit more tempo. They seemed like they wanted to be a little bit more direct if it was on. Like, if they knew they had the numbers that they could do it, they would try to just, like you said, man, that execution just wasn't there yet. Simmons didn't do so well on the in his duels, in aerial duels specifically. I think he was like 1 of 5 on his duels. But I mean, he's 17. He'll grow into it. We've seen the good side of Nixon. We know the potential's there. We'll just grow into it. Going into the second half, we had this sub early on. Ryan comes off. Darren went back to his old trade book, puts the left foot up high to the left winger spot, brought on Chris Cole. I would assume to be more defensive. Fullback there, not worried about getting up so high, kind of let Fitz do that a little bit more on the right side. And I would say this also, to me personally, it felt like the kickers kind of took over the game at this point. Like, they had a lot more crosses. I felt even though a few of the crosses were overcooked, like, they got in the right positions to cross the ball. It was just, they would either hit it way too high over someone's head, or it would just be like, just power on it would just be too much. Like, if they dialed it back a little bit, you created a dangerous header that way. Thoughts of the second half from you guys? Anything like that? Did you guys think we were going to score and tie this game up 2-2? It felt like that way to me. I'll let y'all talk.
I don't know if it felt like we were going to come back with a tie. until towards the very end, they started to create a couple more dangerous chances. I looked at the goal we scored as literally across the board in soccer, professional, from grassroots all the way up to professional, the long throw-in is a nightmare. I don't know if it's the spin of the ball when the thrower launches in the air. So that is one of those situations where the ball ping-pongs around and Adrian just takes a swing because it lands right at him. So after that, apart from Neil's chances before then, I did not feel that there was any of that attacking dominance, any of that, you know, attacking danger until towards the very end of the second half, where it looked like we were getting a little closer to creating some more chances. And I think that that goes to what we were talking, what you were talking about that forward movement, that we have Neil who can penetrate by driving forward. But when that gets shut down because someone can, dribbling, driving forward, that can kind of relatively easily be remedied, can we have someone who can penetrate with a pass? And I don't think there was anyone on the field that was capable of doing that.
Yeah, I would add, in the second half, I felt like we were at least going to tie it. I was pretty, the stats I'm looking at now, like we had 8 corner kicks in the second half, you know, which is relatively indicative of like getting into their third of the field, getting into that attacking third of the field and, you know, putting forth some kind of attack. So like from those, I felt relatively confident that like from one of those corners, we were going to see something, Maxi hitting the post, you know, I was sure that was going in. You know, really felt like it was going to go in. But of course, you know, it would go on to hit the post. And so, like, yeah, I mean, I think this game probably should have ended in a tie. You know, if you look at, you know, just the way that, like, that fluky goal took place and, like, our goal was honest, their goal was honest. You know, it's just, like, it was an unfortunate result, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I said this on Saturday, like I feel like the game felt like a reverse of a lot of the games last year. You know, the first half is just like, you know, the second half of other games is like anything that could go wrong, you know, going wrong. And then, you know, the second half is like a lot of the first halves were like, okay, we're looking, you know, relatively, you know, good. We can keep this up. Like there were plenty of those where it was 0-0 in the first half last year, but we felt like we had the better of the play. So it felt like it flipped. I started to, you know, buy into the, oh, we might equalize, you know, late on. And yeah, I mean, Maxi just pinging the crossbar. What was that in stoppage time? That would have, I mean, that probably would have been, you know, goal of the year wrapped up, you know, week one, you know, before that hits. I don't know if I'm ready to say we, you know, deserved a result, but I also don't know if we necessarily deserve to lose. I don't think Spokane's any good.
I will say this: I believe we deserve it. No. The 78th minute, that's a handball. That is a handball.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
that is another conversation. The other thing I want to add to this is that, like, I think there's just like an emotional component to this game that like is real. If like it's their home opener, 5,000 people, and like fluky things just like tend to happen in those kinds of environments. Like, you know, it's just like kind of, it's kind of like a magical like moment for them in that first like 15 minutes. And you're, you know, like if it wasn't us, like if it was like Greenville there, if it was any other team, I'm convinced it would have gone the same way, you know?
Yeah. Look how it goes.
Yeah. But with you bringing that up, Gabe, it kind of shows, even with this Kickers team still trying to, there are certain components of the team that are still trying to gel to kind of be able to keep level heads in that environment that you're talking about. It's home opener, everyone's rowdy. Everyone's up for it. The whole stadium is up for it, cheering, chanting. I mean, you just heard it on the first goal, and even the commentators said something about it. Like when for the second goal, when Gil is lining up for the corner kick, like you hear this pounding, like, and the commentators talking about how literally everyone in the stadium is stomping their feet on the bleachers as he's lining up for the corner kick. Like that type of environment, it's hard to keep a level head when you're the visiting team. And I think they did a very good job of that, especially going into the second half and actually kind of taking control of the game, so to speak, in the second half.
Overall, I think this game was – there's positives to take from it. Obviously, there are some things that I'm pretty sure Darren and the crew are going to work on, be it the limitations of who was injured. And maybe this is a different game if Darren has his full-strength squad. And, yeah, like you was alluding to, like, it's a home over for a brand-new team. Crazy things have happened. But there are some positives to take out of this game. I think, you know, Darren will look at those and try to build upon it for our upcoming games. Coming up, U.S. Open Cup game against Christos and then Tormenta at home. We kind of talked about them already, but Griffin, Garnett, extremely impressive there at center back. Was there anyone else that stood out to y'all that was impressive? I mean, Griffin and, of course, Bilhar, but anyone else that played that stood out to y'all?
I mean, we talked about it at the beginning, Neil, starting off the game. That first run in, very good. The second one, even better, where he like completely broke Metania's ankles with that stop and go dribbling move. He showed that he is that player that can bring us that dribbling penetration. Like, we can rely on that. And I think he's one of those players that can make something happening even when things aren't going against us. So he stood out to me.
All right. So, anyone else? I just want to make sure I didn't want to cut that one off. All right, cool. All right. We're on a roll then. Next upcoming game, U.S. Open Cup game against Crystals FC. If you want to learn more about the background of that team, check out RiverCity93.com where I wrote an article about that team. And then our very own Gabe is going to be covering the game. Kind of doing like, Gabe, you want to say like it's a pros game wrap up?
What's the question?
I said you're writing like a post game wrap up for the U.S. Open Cup, right?
Yeah, there's a publication called thecup.us that has asked me to help. I wrote something for the Charlotte FC game 2 years ago. I wrote something for the Cleveland Soccer Club game last year, and I'll be writing for this year for thecup.us again. So, Shameless plug. Go check that out.
Yeah, go check that out. Support us here. You know, we're all magical people. But quick thoughts on the U.S. Open Cup game. First of all, how do you think Darren will line up? Do you think it will be kind of more youthish, or will we see some of those injured players come in and play? How do you think Darren attacks his game?
It depends how injured they really are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we really have no idea about that.
I think Jao just got injured, like literally after the interview with him, which once again, Shameless Blood, go check that out. I think he just got injured.
So it's your fault.
Yeah.
Possibly. He was fine when I interviewed him, so I don't know.
Look, no more interviews before the end of the season. We don't want anyone getting injured to post an interview.
I have nothing in control. To deal with the people.
But honestly, I think there may be a method to Darren's madness here. I know we were surprised to see Simmons starting. We were surprised to see Garnett starting and even James Vaughn. I think this was kind of a get your feet wet situation that he put them in to prepare them for, okay, what can you do in the U.S. Open Cup now against a team that is probably of an inferior caliber, or most likely of an inferior caliber? So can, with that, with the game being more open because of that, now after you've got a game under your belt, how do you do? I can see Simmons and Garnett probably starting again. Maybe Vaughn even. And I wouldn't be against it, to be honest with you, in that U.S. Open Cup game.
Yeah, I'm very much there with you, Shaneer. I think this was a I think this past Saturday was, you know, prep, maybe intentional. Maybe we see Simmons and Garnett start, and maybe we see some more of the young guys start. It would be cool to see Landon get out there. I'd love to see my man Gabe Cox get on the field and get the start. That would be awesome. And you know, if you give these kids a shot, like just that, like just like they've said, like if you're good enough, you're old enough, it'd be awesome to see some of these kids get a shot at least during the first half. If they're struggling, you know, have a couple guys on the bench ready to go. But I would love to see that, especially with our home opener on Saturday being a league game. It's, you know, these league regular season games are so much more important now with there only being 22 regular season games. Like every point just counts that much more. So some squad rotation really could be in play here. I'm hopeful. I think our guys could. I would love to see our kids get in and get a shot.
They can get in after the games taken care of. Like, if you were there 7 years ago, you don't want to mess around with this one. This is literally curb stomp these guys if humanly possible. Roll out the 18. Yeah, maybe you might see like Suko start instead of one of the midfield guys, or you might see like Chandler or Cole in there. But no, we're not going full youth, full inexperience with this, because it's what we've done before, and absolutely, got ourselves embarrassed,
by this precise team too.
Well, I can't imagine there's any of the same guys still around, from that. But based on their website, they haven't updated the roster since 2022 anyway. don't mess around. These guys are professional athletes. They can't be able to go 3 in a week. Only one travel day in there. What are you doing? Come on.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Matt, about 2017. I remember that game because I remember I was very annoyed after that result.
Oh, I was highly upset.
Yeah. I think that's what really started my Kickers fandom. I was like, yeah, that's the team for me. One last thing, I was thinking about this when you guys were talking about it. Does Durham make a goalkeeper switch here? Does he sit Pablo for this game and then play Ryan, or does he go Pablo again?
I'd rather see Pablo get reps.
Okay. I think it's Pablo. Like when they played Nova FC, up here a couple years ago, he did a lot of rotation. He still played Akira.
Yeah. I agree with y'all. Like I agree with you, Matt. Like I want to see Derek go strong. If guys are good to go, start them, get a good lead, and let's, and then we can play the kids. They'll start the kids out, have it rocky, and then last 40 minutes when he got momentum, then we're like, all right, let's bring in the bigger guns. We've seen that before in the U.S. Open Cup. We've seen that back
part. Yeah.
So, and I want to go ahead, get this fire burnt out early, and let's go from there.
Look, and there's the other side of it, too, is the fan morale side of things.
Yeah.
We're on 17 now. If things are not going well early on, I think stuff's going to turn sour fast.
Yeah,
I'm hoping not.
I don't want it to either. But if you're not taking care of business against an amateur team, like I don't know how that's going to play in the stands, and I don't know if those are the feelings you want going into the official home opener.
Yeah, another element we got also need to look at is this is their first official game of the season. Like we already have a game under our belt. I know it may seem like that doesn't make a big difference, but when you break out that first game, it's like a lot of the cobwebs come off. So with this being their first game, they're still going to be trying to figure a lot of things out. And that might be our opportunity to really take it to them and have a pretty good night on Wednesday.
Yeah, the first 15 minutes of the game are going to be important because if you can – I'm imagining Crystals are going to be a little bit more off the ball than Richmond. And if we can get some early, you know, kind of put the pressure on them there, maybe one or two goals, then we can ride out from there. Also, I forgot to mention this. Alex Lee, former kicker, plays for Crystal FC. Dentist by day, soccer player by night. So he'll be playing in this game too. That'd be fun. I think his brother Nate is playing as well. I'm not sure, but I know Alex is playing.
Yeah, I found maybe it's updated. I don't really know. But yeah, I found roster with all three of the Lee brothers on there.
Yeah. So it'd be cool to have Alex back. We can chat to him after the game, but not.
Yeah, definitely be great to see Alex again. Haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to him after the game. But those, I'm not exactly sure which website it will be on, but I know all games will be broadcasted. I know that got settled. So I'm not sure if it's – and the U.S. Soccer is one's website. USL is another. Yeah. I think there's one more.
I think it's MLS.
Is it MLS? Yeah, it is MLS. Yeah, MLS, U.S. Soccer, and USL will be doing all those games. We're looking forward to the U.S. Open Cup on, like, some teams. Nisa, get your stuff together because I don't know what y'all are doing. before we wrap up, any other thoughts before we close out the pod?
Two chances to come see the team play in 4 days. Be there for both of them. I gotta hope and think that Saturday will be, you know, close to, if not a full sellout. You know, it's fun.
I can't wait.
Right. We'll get to watch like half our team play their old team. You know, good times.
Yeah. Real fun.
And also I said this, you know, earlier today online. It feels weird to say, but I almost feel like these are two must-win games, which is ridiculous for first week of the season already. But Open Cup, again, we just talked about that. You can't do that twice.
Yeah.
Right?
And then I think if we're going to make the playoffs this year, Torment is a team you have to get all 3 points from at home. Like, I think they're going to be one of those, you know, teams near the bottom, you know, as well, and you can't go, you know, screwing stuff like that up. And also, again, the aforementioned streak, you know, that needs to be snapped.
Yeah. And this is also a tremendous team that I would say for the better part of two games have looked not great.
Right.
Yeah, so that definitely that. Gabe, my fault, I didn't mean to intercept you. Anything before
we you didn't interrupt me at all. I mean, I was just going to point out the weather on Saturday. If you're looking at your super unreliable weather app on your iPhone – that does say 50% chance of rain, but that is all in the morning. So come noon, you know, you've got sunshine, and then come like 6 o'clock, you know, four o'clock, 6 o'clock or so, you know, sunny, 63. I mean, that's just about as good as it gets for soccer weather. So no excuse not to be there. It's going to be a good day.
And you can join Gabe also in, double fisting a Falcons match. Shanir, anything for you, my good man, before we wrap up the show?
No, just if you can't come on Wednesday, come on Saturday. And I can understand, you know, with it being the middle of the week, there are a lot of people that will not be able to attend that game. But if you can, you know, it's a U.S. Open. I personally think that the U.S. Open Cup deserves a lot more respect than it's getting right now. And showing up to the games and being loud and supporting your team and making some noise is a good way of bringing that awareness to the U.S. Open Cup. This is a competition that the Kickers have won before. And every time we're in this competition, it's another bite at that apple.
Most certainly is. Oh, also, I forgot, before we wrap up, the USL League One Cup officially got their sponsor name today. It is the Jägermeister Cup. They have things as round of shots. That's where these hashtags are hilarious, but they remind me of college. Round of Shots. This is another one out there that's hilarious. Shot of the Match, something like that. I've heard that the winning team, the cup, is drinkable. I'm not imagining a full trophy full of Jaeger is going to taste good.
Oh, God. No, it's not.
I'm just imagining a full soccer team blackout drunk. You're doing these shots. And apparently they would have Jaeger Bikes at the game, so I imagine on top of Falcon Smash having everyone knocked out, y'all's going to be knocked out from all the Jaeger bombs they're going to be selling. So, yeah. It's going to be fun. But with that being said, we will catch you guys Sunday, I believe. For Matt, for Gabe, and myself, we just want to say thank you, and Kate. We just want to say thank you for taking the time of your day for listening to our show, because we're actually going to do this. So with that being said, make sure to give us a like, share, subscribe. Check out the work we have done on River City 93. Make sure you support Gabe's work for thecup.us as he's covering the game. And with that being said, we will holler at you guys next time. As always, up the ruse, be easy, be safe.